I have spent a week of May for the past 4 years at a bay on Togiak Refuge, ostensibly bear hunting, though I've yet to actually shoot one there. In spite of my lack of success, with regards to actually harvesting a bear, I get very excited each spring for this hunt for a number of reasons. First, it is still hunting, and hunting is always good, in my humble opinion. Also, I like camping, and if you're properly prepared, camping is always good. Well, almost always, so there is that. And the fact is, I'm still very much in touch with the 10-year-old version of me when it comes to nature. I am very much fascinated by innumerable things to be found outside, and a remote place on a refuge in Alaska is a darn fine place to see and experience such things. This particular spot has a number of consistent elements to it that I very much look forward to seeing. For example, even though I've never shot a bear at this spot, I've seen plenty of bears each and every year, and some have been fairly close, say 30 yards or so. Seeing bears is always cool. This year's favorite was a sow with 3 2-year-old cubs. Last year we saw her when they were itty-bitty things. And I loved the birding to be had there. It's simply top-notch. From northern harriers and short-eared owls prowling the grassy areas for food, to more eagles than you can count, to a pair of rough-legged hawks defending their nest, to oodles and oodles of waterfowl, waterbirds, songbirds, and shorebirds. Really, birding could be a full-time pursuit there. Those pointing to my success with bears might reach the conclusion it already is for me. One of the more common birds I see out there, and I thoroughly enjoy watching them, is there somewhat for the same reason I am, and they carry something of the same title. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I'm talking about a group of birds called Jaegers. Actually, Togiak Refuge plays host to 3 types of Jaegers: the Pomeran Jaeger, the long-tailed Jaeger, and the parasitic Jaeger, as well as a closely related bird called the South Polar Skua. The word Jaeger, as you can hear by the way I say it, is pronounced with a Y at the beginning, but it is spelled J-A-E-G-E-R. It's an old German word that means hunter or huntsman. Based on what I've seen at this bay, that is a very accurate description. These birds are always on the hunt, though I'd also point out that they are not always the most scrupulous of hunters. In fact, had Benjamin Franklin been more familiar with Jaegers, he might have been less harsh in his famed assessment of eagles. More on that in a moment. If you're a movie fan, the word might sound familiar to you, as it's also the name of the giant robots used in the movie Pacific Rim. So what do you know of Jaegers and Skuas? They are both seabirds, and as such, and by definition, spend a goodly portion of their lives on the open ocean. They are fairly large birds and are closely related to gulls. In fact, their appearance is not all that dissimilar in most ways. The 3 species of Jaegers I mentioned are all listed as uncommon across the refuge, according to our refuge wildlife list. I would note that uncommon, by our book, simply means that they are present, but not certain to be seen. As my time on the bay shows, if you spend time around their likely haunts, finding them is not really all that difficult. The South Polar Skua, on the other hand, is listed as rare and only showing up in the spring. Our former bird geek guru, biologist Michael Swaim, once told me that the South Polar Skua is almost an accidental species. They don't show up here very often, and then only passing through. He also told me that the most common Jaeger is the long-tailed Jaeger, followed by the parasitic and the Pomeran, something else my time on the bay has borne out. Now, back to my comment about why these birds at times are more of a felon than a hunter. The family these birds belong to is one that practices kleptoparasitism, especially during the non-breeding months of the calendar. Kleptoparasitism simply means that they get their food in large part by taking it from others. The image that comes to mind, for me, is a school bully taking snacks or milk money from the playground's resident population during recess. It's true that other birds do this to some degree, including gulls, but it's more like a crime of opportunity for them than a pursued preferred method. Jaegers practice it as a lifestyle. Their diets, depending on the time of year, consist of fish, other birds, eggs, rodents, insects, berries, and carrion. Do you remember what Mr. Franklin said about eagles? Let me refresh your memories. For my own part, I wish the bald eagle had not been chosen the representative of our country. He is a bird of bad moral character. He does not get his living honestly. Again, perhaps old Ben would have been a bit softer on the eagle, had he had a chance to study Jaegers. As I mentioned, long-tail Jaegers are the most common across our area. They are also the smallest, coming in at a few inches shy of 2 feet. They have a wingspan of about 3 feet. In shape, they look quite a bit like a gull, but the coloration and markings set them apart. They have a white breast, belly, neck, and chin. The back, wings, and rump are gray, with the primary feathers usually darker than the rest of the wing. They have a very distinct black cap that comes across the head at just below eye level. The legs and bill are a dark gray to black. The distinguishing characteristic, from which the name is derived, is that the two middle tail feathers are extremely long, extending nearly a foot beyond the rest of the tail feathers. They are, to my eye, an exceedingly graceful bird, in flight and in appearance. Long-tailed Jaegers pair up monogamously for the long term. Both male and female take part in building the nest, which is mostly just a shallow depression on a raised area. The normal clutch is two brownish olive eggs, and the females spend more time incubating than the males. The chicks stay at the nest for only a couple of days after hatching, though they stay in the general vicinity longer than that. The female stays at the nest while the male forages for food. The chicks stay with the parents for up to 3 weeks after fledging, which occurs at about 3.5 weeks of age. Parasitic Jaegers are the second most common to our area, and are also the middle-sized of the three species. They look very similar to their long-tailed cousins, with the only naked-eye discernible difference being the tail feathers. The two middle tail feathers are longer than the other tail feathers, but only by a few inches. The legs are black and the bill is a dirty yellowish-brown. Monogamous pairs often return to the same area each year. The males frequently arrive ahead of the females to lay claim to the area. The male chooses the site for the nest and the female builds it, with the nest being a shallow depression lined with grasses. Two eggs are, again, the norm, with the eggs ranging from brown to green to blue, often with brown spots. Both parents share in the incubation duties. The young vacate the nest within 2 days of hatching but stay close. Both parents hunt and feed the chicks. The young stay with their parents for a few weeks after fledging, which occurs at about a month. The Pomeran Jaeger is considered the largest of the Jaegers. At the very least, it has the blockiest look to it. Pomerans breed in the Arctic, and so, for us, they are simply passing through. Breeding areas depend heavily on lemming populations, whereas lemmings are the heavy food favorite during the breeding season. Not quite as monogamous as other Jaeger types, both sexes work at constructing the nest, which is largely, stop me if you've heard this before, a depression on the ground, formed by repeatedly trampling the ground and lining it with grasses. Two olive eggs with brown blotches are laid on this nest, and both parents take part in the incubation. The young leave the nest within 48 hours but stay in the area, where both parents feed them a mostly lemming diet. Kinda makes jumping off a cliff with your friends seem preferable, doesn't it? The chicks fledge in 3 to 3.5 weeks and are independent soon after that. The fourth bird I mentioned at the beginning, the South Polar Squaw, is a bird that you're very unlikely to see. Not impossible, just not all that probable. For what it's worth, the South Polar Squaw is a dark bird, pretty much across all of its body. The feet and the bill are black. There is a bit of a lighter color around the neck, but just lighter in comparison to the rest of the body. Not out-and-out light. One distinguishing characteristic is that the wings have a white wing flash. That is, the bases of the primaries are white, creating a highly visible stripe of white along each wing. Also, the South Polar Squaw's tail feathers are all of normal length, with none of them stretching out farther than the rest. They are somewhat larger than the three Jaeger species, at least with regards to their wingspan, which often exceeds 4 feet. Again, I like watching Jaegers hunt, and in May, it seems to me hunting is what they do. They hunt close to the ground, often fly in small groups, and they are extremely graceful in the air. At other times of the year, we know them to have more in common with school bullies, bullies being something I saw from time to time over my nearly 2-decade career as a school teacher, so I know what that looks like. For these particular birds, it's business as usual, though some of the bullies I've known probably thought the same thing about their own efforts. But you know, as I think on it a bit, it's not just school bullies, is it? This whole kleptoparasitism happens at other times too and in other places. For example, it's not at all uncommon for spouses to snitch food from each other, whether a standing invitation exists or not. So the next time your spouse tries to make off with a part of your dessert, tell him or her to quit being such a Jaeger and get their own dessert. And then be prepared to explain what you mean after you say it. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.